Her name was Shakya Devi. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 330, Padmasambhava, part 24, in which we will continue reading The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava by Yeshi Tsogyul. We'll begin with Canto 52, and depending on how long the cantos are today, we'll probably read at least 53, and then we'll see how it goes from there. All right, hope everybody's doing well today. The rain finally started. It was a little late this year here in Goa, India, on account of the El Nino situation going on around the world. So I suppose without further ado, we'll go ahead and get to The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. Are you ready? Okay. Canto 52, getting toward the end of Volume 1. The King Nagavishnu, overcome by Samvarakala Garba and Kasa, the fish. Now the saint led to the Dharma, the lands of Assam and Khotan, of Maruka, Shambhala, Zhangzung, and Persia, Gesar, Tukhara, and the land of the Rakshasas, the city of Rugma, the country of the Nagas, and still others. He founded great monasteries in the number of 800,000, which, with 90,000 kotis and 13,000 small ones, were the most powerful of the four continents. Then, having come to the peak of Potala, while in a crystal stupa with 33 spires, he was sitting in the serenity of meditation. The Tirthikas invaded Bodh Gaya. The King Nagavishnu, a despotic and terrible scoundrel, was extending the power of his queens, his sons, his court, and his people. He was also supporting 6 Tirthika masters. And when they attacked Bodh Gaya itself, all the correct customs of Buddhism were abolished, and all the stupas dedicated to the 3 jewels demolished. Here are the methods and the story of the tyrant. As tools, weapons, as food, beings. Okay, as tools, weapons. As food, beings. As a following, the army with 5,000 valets, and as words, quote, strike, kill, end quote, with the noise of blows. 84,000 living ones were to perish in 24 hours, and the land became a field of funeral preparations, which filled everything above and below Bodh Gaya. The king was making a fry of the live fishes. He threw into misfortune and distress the entire land of India. Resolved to bend him to the Dharma, the guru calculated the means of curbing this most rebellious one, but not intending to subdue him himself, with the eye of knowledge, he looked at the land of India. A Brahmin father, Nandadhara, and a mother, Babkyayama, had a son, Ningshodzin, and a daughter, Gaima Cham. The guru saw that a son born of this daughter, along with the fish Kasa, were destined to subdue the king. He would not be subdued otherwise, no matter who it was that tried. Now, on the red rock ledge with the birds, as the young girl was grazing a herd of yak heifers, in the shady park, rain came down unexpectedly. She reached a cave and fell asleep. Padma, having blessed her, conferred unction on her. And on awakening, she remembered the dream of having felt the same pleasure as if she had had a husband. Then, becoming ill at ease, she confided in her sister-in-law, quote, "I am sure that some man took me. I am going to be a mother. I will have a child without a husband. I am thinking of suicide." End quote. But the sister-in-law confided the secret girl to the girl's brother. Quote, "Don't kill yourself," end quote, he said. Quote, "I will raise the child." End quote. In the first half of the ninth month, she gave birth to a son. When signs and portents were shown to a Brahmin, he declared them good, and named the child Samvara Kala Garba. He grew quickly, and at the end of 8 years, he said, quote, "Mother, who is my father?" End quote. In the eyes of his mother, tears formed. Quote, "Don't speak in this way. You have no father." End quote. Quote, "Well then, what is the name of the king of the land, and what are the names of the king's masters of ceremonies?" End quote. Quote, "The king is Naga Vishnu. 6 Tirtika masters make his sacrifices." End quote. Thereupon the son said, quote, "I am going away. I am going..." That's my 8-year-old voice. "I am going away. I am going away to Bodh Gaya in India. Without a father, a mother cannot sustain a son." End quote. Different time. So he went to Bodh Gaya. At first, the guards at the gate did not admit him into the town. But the 6 masters and the king had gone out to relieve their weariness. And the boy said to them, quote, "I ask protection as the gift of the teachings. A child of 8 years, I do not yet understand the law. When later I am considered capable, you will have only to send me away. I have neither father, mother, nor relatives. Take me as a servant. Give me only food and clothing." End quote. Quote, "Let him come in," end quote, said the king. Quote, "We will make him a kitchen aid." End quote. Samvara Kala Garba was admitted, and his manner of living corresponded to that of the Tirtikas. Now, Kasa, of the people of the fishes, was incarnated as an adult fish. Caught by those who were fishing for the royal table, he was served, swallowed without being chewed. Not vomited or rejected below, he squirmed around inside. The king got up, went to bed, but kept turning over and over again, in contortions, not staying in place, uttering wild words, and hurling out cries, quote, "Bashu," end quote, and quote, "Huyis," end quote. Queens and ministers were unable to endure the king's torment, and calling the Tirtika masters of ceremonies and sacrificers, hurried them with their following to the king. Some of them took his head, others his hands. A severe illness was seizing the king and would be prolonged. Now, Samvara Kala Garba was moved by bad thoughts. He threw poison in the water, set the palace on fire, and closed doors and windows above, below, and on the sides. Then he locked the outside doors one after the other and quickly left. After that, the boy went to Zahur and, aspiring to calm, he was ordained a Buddhist priest. Now, there appeared in Zahur, India, merchants, and he asked them the news of India. Quote, at Bodh Gaya, a fire destroyed everything. The Tirthika and his court are finished. The council of the chiefs has concluded that without a king, the domestic struggles will be disastrous. So they have met for many successive sons to choose a king. But it has been a year now, and they cannot find one suitable. End quote. Samvara Kalagarbha, dressed as a beggar, returned to the plain of India, and there stayed on the outskirts of the crowded market. Now an elephant, carrying a kalasa, was committed by the Buddhists to find the future king. He lifted his tail in a spiral, moved its heavy base, and put the kasala on Samvara Kalagarbha's head. The chiefs assembled. Samvara Kalagarbha put on clean clothes, mounted the throne, and raised the parasol and the victory banner. Quote, who, end quote, they said to him, quote, will the king take for a queen, end quote. Quote, one who is of orthodox faith and who reveres the Buddha, who is compassionate and who nourishes and helps the poor, who is of noble stock, pure in sex, that one I will take for queen. End quote. But such a queen could not be found, so the elephant was committed to search, and he put the kasala on the head of an old woman. Now the ministers asked the king for his orders. Quote, in Bodh Gaya, let all devote themselves to the work of the fields, end quote. And all began to prepare the fallow land, taking away the stones. Soon the meeting of the king and queen took place. The king asked, quote, what are the name and the country of the queen? End quote. Quote, my land is neighboring on Kaura and Usi. My name is Gaima Cham. End quote. At these words, the king kissed her. Quote, do you know, end quote, he said to her, quote, Samvara Kalagarbha, end quote. Quote, though I was not near to any man, I became his mother, and it has been 5 years since he went to Bodh Gaya. The fire broke out, and my son was killed, end quote, she said, and she wept. Then the king said, quote, mother, I am your son, end quote. Did he marry his mother? I'll keep reading. Maybe it'll become more clear. Quote, no, quote, said the mother. Quote, I do not believe it. End quote. Quote, I am your son. I will prove it by causing a fish to be born at Bodh Gaya under a plank. Come along quickly. End quote. And the king and the queen went to sea. And under a wooden slab was a big fish, which was all pearly with dew and panting. The mother believed and bowed down to him and did a circumambulation of her son. Now the son took the patala as his dwelling. The fish went away to the shades of willow trees, and Gaima Cham to the cemetery of Udiana. Of the history unabridged, of the lives of the guru of Udiana, Padmasambhava. This is the 52nd canto, the king Nagavishnu, overcome, sealed odes. Well, that was unusual. Canto 53. The Discourse of the Council of the Treasure, of the Law of the Treasure, of the Revealer of the Treasure. Now, the one from Udayana, Padmasambhava, sitting on the diamond throne, through the flowers of consecration, founded sacred libraries, and renewed the doctrine. And he came to the monastery of Pundravardhana, where, teaching texts and formulas, he established himself in meditation for 200 years. Then, as a knowledge-bearer of the Great Seal, having considered that it was senseless not to obtain attainments, he went to the frontier of India and Nepal to sit on the mountain like a lion of celestial sardonyx, as his mystical enthusiasm was leading him into meditation. Seven hunters of the land, cruel men, appeared, leading their bloodhounds in order to catch game. He bewitched the hunters and dogs, and their mouths and throats were paralyzed. And the king sent a messenger to say, quote, "Do not hunt any more," end quote. Thence, Padma went on a pilgrimage for the ritual tour of the convent of Shankhu. One of the king's queens had died in childbirth, and the child along with her had been carried to the cemetery. But there a monkey was feeding a little girl. By day she perched on a tree eating fruits. By night, dressed in the leaves of the tree, she slept on a rock. Her name was Shakyadevi, the Nepalese, and she had hands and feet webbed like a goose. Seeing by these notable signs that she was a messenger of happiness, Padma guided her, and they went to the cave Yang Leshod of Nepal. I've been there. It's the place I'm thinking of. Here's some photos of that. Okay. As Padma placed in the cave for safekeeping 1,700 billions of treasure works, it's a very small cave, maybe they're astral, the four scourges broke out. At twilight, at the time of meditation, half-human demons tried to disturb his meditation. In the evening, the demons were wiped out and disappeared into space. But the sky was without rain, and the sun was burning like fire. At noon, at the time of the recitation of texts, demons appeared. In the evening, the demons were wiped out and disappeared into space. And in the land of Nepal, famine grew like a red cloud. At the dawn meditation, the master with the sign of the tree appeared. In the evening, he was wiped out and disappeared into space. As a result, one could see whirling around in the daylight the gnomes of the plague, who spread epidemics, parasites, calamities, and the people of Nepal carried the dead away like dung heaps. But Shakyadevi sang the song which chased away the four scourges. Quote, "Atrocious devastators, O intolerable ones, you have violated commandments of the Buddha. Like the flower of the lotus, unsullied by the mud of the marsh, is the yogi with the supreme methods, who lives happily according to his desire, and has been liberated from all bonds. He is unknown, O evil ones, to all four of you. The written treasure is to be hidden, for the beings of distant times will be able to subdue. How could you renounce this Dharma treasure? It is only the function of these scriptures that the doctrine of the Buddha will be able to flourish again. If you have no hook of mercy, in whom will the perverse ones have hope? By guarding the treasure, there will be no more obstacles." End quote. Thus she spoke, conquering the army of demons and scourges. Vapors mounted from the lake. Rain fell from the sky. Trees bore their fruits, and sickness and famine ceased. When the omniscient Lord of the two doctrines hides the profound treasure for the good of future times, wishing to convince and subdue those incited by passions, he appears as an 8-year-old child of beautiful face, with the purple brilliancy of a lotus, his face a sun of unbearable splendor. He has the true and perfect form with the marks and signs, and he wears a red silk cowl and carries a golden begging bowl, presenting the profound teachings of the various vehicles. He wears a brilliant robe. Hunting out the three poisons, he carries a katvanga with 3 points. In the triple body formed by itself, he adorns himself with 3 layers of skulls. Expressing the symbols of interpenetration, he holds a vajra and the bell. Now it says, Portfolio 3, Padmasambhava, the Terma Master. And there's some pictures. We'll put those up on the screen as we go. Says here next to it, the compassionate activity of enlightened awareness emanates continuous streams of apparitions for the benefit of beings throughout all worlds. Padmasambhava represents such emanation, and his forms are numberless. I feel like, what's her name? The Nepalese, I'll remember her name soon, is in the middle of a sentence, and these illustrations are just kind of put here. Yes, she is. She is still in the middle of that sentence. Okay. All right. So these images, we'll go over them at the end after I finish the canto. Okay. So shifting back to, she's still talking. Right. She's talking to the evil ones, addressing himself to the stag ears, he carries the golden begging bowl. Dominating sight, he raises an eagle feather. Perfect in 5 bodies, he is adorned with 5 kinds of silks. Fulfilling the hopes of those to be subdued, on the sparkling seat of the lions, he is enthroned, cross-legged on the lotus. Varying the aspects of his preaching, he piles up precious jewels. He is famous now as Padma Drogon Tissal, tutelary art, now as Padma Wang Chung Gon, Lord Guarantor, now as Padma Drubpe Lodro, sense of success, now as Padma Chechog Tissal, art of sublime life, now as Padma Khandro Wangchug, prince of the Dakinis, and as Gompo Pirwapa, polymorphic defender, as Padma Nagpo Chopa of the dark ways, as Chaochug Chading, child of the art of Garuda, as Nagadag, I don't know how that's pronounced, N-G-A-D-A-G, Nyadag, maybe, Tsal, art of self-mastery, as Padma Saraha, as Padma Kuntugyu, wandering everywhere, as Padma Chagchog, art of supreme love, as Drowe Kyab, refuge for beings, as Padma Trinle Gon, protector of the works, as Padma Donyod Shag, infallible lasso, as Padma Ziji Tro, radiant splendor, as Padma the Dombhi, as Padma Rigden Padma Karpo, white one of noble lineage, as Padma Vajra, as Padma Tod Rang Tsal, strength of the Rosary of Skulls, he has 20 names, which vary at will. Quote, I thought she was talking, now there's a quote. Lamp of the doctrine, oh, maybe it's because it's a new paragraph, she's still talking. Lamp of the doctrine, law of the treasure, he is a celestial treasure house. In many coffers of lead, of jewels, of leather, of wood, of clay, of stone, of skull, and of gems. The treasure is locked up on jugs, on blue paper, on birch bark, on stucco, with inks of gold, silver, copper, iron, beryl, turquoise, cinnabar, and other things. The treasure is written with corrections included, disagreements resolved, arcana unsealed. The hidden doctrine clears up the important points. Treasure hidden in the abodes of gods, of nagas, and of men. It is of an imperishable substance. Anthology of true words. It is Sintamani treasure. End quote. If one discerns clearly, there are 18 kinds of treasures. I'm not sure why there was a end quote there, or a quote. Is she not still talking? Okay, I'll just keep reading. If one discerns clearly, there are 18 kinds of treasures. Maybe this is the narrator voice. Secret treasure, profound treasure, mind treasure, reflection treasure, material treasure, distinguished treasure, subtle treasure, extraordinary treasure, treasure of India, treasure of Tibet, sovereign treasure, male treasure, female treasure, sexless treasure, outer treasure, inner treasure, intermediary treasure, and admirable treasure. And each of them possesses 10 characteristics. The coffers of the treasure, its paper, the material used to write it, the letters of the treasure, its places, its guardians, its revealers, the time of the revelation, the conversion, and its field. The first is the secret treasure, with its secret coffers. The paper of the treasure is secret. Secret is the ink of the treasure, letters of the treasure. Secret, places of the treasure, secret. Secret the guardians of the treasure, and secret its revealers. Time of the revelation, conversion, and its fields are all secret. All are secret. The second is the profound treasure enclosed in profound coffers. The paper of the treasure is profound, and profound is the ink used there. Letters of the treasure, profound letters, places of the treasure, profound places. Profound the guardians of the treasure, and profound its revealers. The time of the revelation, the conversion, and its field, all are profound. The third is the mind treasure, included in the spiritual coffers, spiritual paper, spiritual letters, spiritual ink, in spiritual places, spiritual guardians, spiritual revealers, spiritual time, and spiritual conversion. The fourth is the treasure of reflection, with its coffers of reflection, paper of reflection, matters of reflection, letters of reflection, in places of reflection, guardians reflected, revealers reflected, time reflected, and conversion reflected. Fifth is the material treasure, having material coffers, material paper, material ink, material letters, in material places, material guardians, material revealers, material time, and material conversion. The sixth is the distinguished treasure, included in the distinguished coffers, distinguished paper, distinguished ink, distinguished letters, in distinguished places, distinguished guardians, distinguished revealers, distinguished time, distinguished conversion. These treasures are hidden in spiritual places until the end of the age. To take them out would be the ruin of the kingdom. In India and Tibet, there are 25 of this kind, hidden for a long time, in order to assure for a long period the good of beings. The seventh is the subtle treasure, enclosed in subtle coffers, with tiny paper, tiny ink, tiny letters in tiny places, subtle guardians, revealers of subtle times, and subtle conversions. The eighth is the extraordinary treasure enclosed in extraordinary coffers, with wild paper, wild ink, wild letters in wild places, extravagant guardians, extravagant revealers, extravagant time, and extravagant conversion. The ninth is the Indian treasure, enclosed in Indian coffers, Indian paper, Indian ink, Indian letters, in Indian places, Indian guardians, Indian revealers, Indian time, and Indian conversion. The tenth is the Tibetan treasure, enclosed in Tibetan coffers, Tibetan charts, Tibetan ink, Tibetan letters, in Tibetan places, Tibetan guardians, Tibetan revealers, Tibetan time, and Tibetan conversion. The 11th is the sovereign treasure, enclosed in sovereign coffers, sovereign paper, sovereign ink, sovereign letters, in sovereign places, sovereign guardians, sovereign revealers, sovereign time, and sovereign conversion. And this one is the possession of the king and not another. The 12th is the male treasure enclosed in male coffers, male paper, male ink, male letters, in male places, male guardians, male revealers, male time, and male conversion. The 13th is the female treasure, enclosed in female coffers, female paper of red copper, and ink colored with blood, female letters, female conversion, and female field of conversion. The 14th is the treasure without sex, having coffers without sex, on neutral paper, handwriting in neutral ink, neutral letters, neutral places and guardians, neutral revealers at a neutral hour, asexual conversion, and asexual field to be converted. The 15th is the outer treasure, enclosed in exterior coffers, exterior paper, exterior ink, exterior letters in exterior places, exterior guardians, exterior revealers, exterior time, and exterior conversion. This is the one that Nagarjuna, the noble master, incorporated into the teaching, outer as much as esoteric. The 16th is the inner treasure, enclosed in inner coffers, interior paper, interior ink, interior letters, in interior places, interior guardians, interior revealers, interior time, and interior conversion. The 17th is the intermediary treasure, enclosed in intermediary coffers, median paper, median ink, median letters, in median places, intermediary guardians, intermediary revealers, intermediary time, and intermediary conversion. The 18th is the admirable treasure, the coffers of which are as many as the treasures, earth, water, fire, wind, sky, mountains, and rocks. Admirable guardians, admirable revealers, admirable time, and admirable conversion. King Indrabhuti gathered the whole lot together and made of it 180 volumes and hid it. The land and the 10 directions trembled, and the world was inundated with light. The deities made flowers to rain down, and in the air, among the clouds, they presented large offerings, Dakinis, guarantors of the Dharma, and guardians of the treasure, made the circumambulation. In order to dissipate in the world the night of ignorance, nourished with the power of their former lives, and blessed by the prophecies, 6 were promised luck and the power of the treasure. The one who is pressed by the enemy has power through the hidden treasure. The one who has abandoned all he holds dear has power through the hidden treasure. The leper has power through the hidden treasure. The poor man skilled in propitiation has power through the hidden treasure. The tracked debtor has power through the hidden treasure. The one who obeys and has little power has power through the hidden treasure. 5 others do not have the blessing of the treasure. The powerful, those of great strength, do not have the blessing. Those who increase their fortune and their power do not have the blessing. Those who gather together men, possessions, and food do not have the blessing. Those who partake in the great amusements of the times do not have the blessing. Those who have a sharp eye, a quick hand, and keen wit do not have the blessing. Not having the blessing, they can by no means draw it forth. From what appears, a great deal is to be rejected. False treasures, fictitious treasure, treasure of sullied teachings. There are great robbers of doctrine with their lucrative work. Acquaint yourself with whomsoever is unsuitable of mind, men unthreatened by hell, hardened to fear, and make your vows with me of Udiana. Although the false treasure may come from the overflowing source, unstable it has no power. Such a treasure, far from heaven, close to man, is to be rejected. If it has wisdom, the Dharma will cover the face of the earth. If there is devotion, there is not anything that is not a teacher. How can the fictitious treasure accompany the 18 lions which walk on glaciers? And there are stories of faith in such a treasure and its source. Although subdued, Rudra Tarpo Nagpo rises up again. His 8 orders of thought correspond to the 8 cemeteries, and his skin represents the paper, his shin bone the calamus, the 4 waters of his body the inks, the 5 poisons the words of the Dharma, and his skull, mouth, and nose became receptacles of the treasure. His internal organs, toes, and fingers represent the places of the treasure. The 6 receptacles will predict who shall discover the treasure, and from the 5 major organs come the unfortunate predictions. From the 5 skandhas, from the 5 senses, from the 5 elements, and from the triad body, speech, and mind, proceed 18,000 myriads of kinds of treasures. If one groups them in tens, There are the breath of the treasures and their flesh, the skin of the treasures, their hair and their heart's blood, the fat of their bellies, their limbs, the nerves of the treasures, their marrow and their brain. The extraordinary treasure is the globe of the eye. The subtle treasure is the fluid of the eyes and the wax of the ears. The one without sex is the nasal mucus and the liquid. The distinguished treasure is called the life of the veins. The intermediary treasure is the bile of the treasures. Thus must one know, be acquainted with, and follow them all. Now, at rare times, a hidden treasure is revealed. Cumin, an Arabic plant with shoots of nettles and willow leaves, bears nothing transitory. But the Udumbara, a supreme flower, in the north of Anavatapta, there we go, a place of perfection with five branches, and in Udiana, in the northwest of Dhanakosa, is born at the arrival of a Buddha, protector of the world. And the revealer of the treasure engenders faith and sure knowledge. Thus, several treasures would not be able to reveal themselves at the same time. It is a single king, changed, who takes life up again. A single revealer, who lifts up in himself the faith. Let them be conquerors, the torches of the world. If they are born warriors, a white flower appears. If they are born Brahmins, a red flower appears. If they are born merchants, a yellow flower appears. If they are born peasants, a blue flower appears. When they incarnate, the flower blooms. When they are born, the flower opens. When they make the wheel of the Dharma turn, the flower is in full bloom. When they enter into nirvana, the flower vanishes into space. Accordingly, when the ones of good fortune act out the profound treasures, Dakinis assemble, defenders of the Dharma, gods and rakshas of the eight classes, volatile as the center of two armies ready for conflict. The gods and genies bring calamity to all minds. Desire turns women into she-devils. Hate turns honorable men into creatures of broken vows. Ignorance turns magicians into deceivers. After death, they will all become demons. As gods, genies, and men, they will make disturbances. Chasing after the treasure, their own lives will become disturbed, become weak. They will not be able to find food, provisions, or men. When it is the time to compete with the black demon, who, envying the official masters of the treasures, strives to upset them, warned by karma, the latter are cautious and forsake nothing, because the treasures have been previously karmically sealed. Revealers of the treasure are just as rare as stars in the daylight. Two or three revealers cannot appear at the same time. If such appear, they are false masters and will wipe out the treasure. As attainments do not come forth without hindrances, examine well before you separate from or unite with the treasure. If the treasure is taken up, it is time for the other to die. For in one land, two revealers cannot coexist. They would fight each other, and they would not teach. That there may not be two of them, the doctrine of the treasure of Padma wills it. By as much as one increases, the other one would decrease. Here is the doctrine of my treasure delivered. It is a treasure house. The doctrine fills the 3,000 worlds. It is a supreme flower. It dispels the night of ignorance by its great light. It subdues the beings of the three times as decider of the future, of the history unabridged, of the lives of the guru of Uddiyana, Padmasambhava. This is the 53rd canto, the discourse of the council of the treasure, of the doctrine of the treasure, of the revealer of the treasure. Sealed Odes. Well, that was really something. I'm honestly not sure what to make out of all of it. But it had a vibe for sure. And I will be listening to it as I edit it and listening to it again after with interest. And we got to meet, well, if you count Yeshe Tsoyo, we got to meet the fourth of the female students, consorts as they're known, of Padmasambhava, the Nepalese woman. So as promised, I'm going to go through these illustrations, and we'll put the first one up. We saw that one earlier. That's plate 18. And putting the second one up, plate 19, and on the left side, I don't know if the writing on the left has anything to do with the image on the right, but nonetheless, I'll go ahead and read it. The compassionate activity of enlightened awareness emanates continuous streams of apparitions for the benefit of beings throughout all worlds. Padmasambhava represents such emanation, and his forms are numberless. As evidenced in the biography, Padma appears sometimes as a beggar, sometimes as a child of eight, sometimes as an animal, sometimes wrathful, sometimes peaceful. Whatever guise suits the occasion, that guise Padma assumes and so works to bring the maturity all beings in all realms, to maturity all beings in all realms. Just as the Buddha Shakyamuni taught different vehicles to his disciples according to their various abilities and understandings, in the Lotus Sutra, so Padma disseminates innumerable manifestations and teachings, each designed to counteract the karmic obscurations which surface as the lifestyle of a being, a people, a country, an era. The rational mind cannot conceive of the variety of his manifestations. Padma's various forms manifest wherever and whenever there is a need, so that even though the so-called, and then the picture, plate 20, the text continues, the so-called historical Padmasambhava departed from Tibet, his deep doctrines continue to present times. Padma also manifests by means of terma, the teachings which he buried in caves, monasteries, rocks, statues, and in many other places, as well as manifesting through the terma masters, the reincarnations of his disciples who rediscover these teachings. These teachings are revealed continually at the appropriate times and provide mankind with revitalizing spiritual nourishment. Texts, teachings, and ritual objects may constitute a terma treasure, and each collection or series of texts is a complete guide to enlightenment. A treasure must consist of a guru mandala, a great perfection teaching, and a heart sadhana practice. The text details the philosophy, which acts as a basis, and the practice, which provides the vehicle for attainment. Terma texts outline the visualizations, figures, forms, colors, outer, inner and secret levels, gestures, mandalas, and mantras of the practice. Many treasures, and then turning the page, plate 21 on the right side, the text continues, have their own iconography, which is designed to specifically counteract karmic obscurations. The four tankas, which appear in this portfolio, are related to specific terma. Those are the ones that have been up here. Terma texts, and are therefore known as Sampa Ihundrup Lasog, the manifestation of Padmasambhava, which occupies the central position in each, the deities and events surrounding him, the colors, the various ritual implements and gestures. These are all specifically detailed aspects of the corresponding terma text. And with that, we have finished volume one. And there's a second volume here. So next time in Padmasambhava part 25, when we get to Buddhist books 340, we will begin the second volume of The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. Wow. Today was, I didn't realize that was going to happen today. Thank you for joining me for this. Feel free to comment below. And, you know, be sure to click like and subscribe if you haven't already. And I will go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.